Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in this quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make. And resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special month, November, which is designated as National Entrepreneurship Month. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Stephen M. Strom. Steve grew up in a working class family in Auburndale, Massachusetts. He faithfully served in Thailand during the Vietnam War, from which he received a medical discharge. Subsequently, Steve started a business, believe it or not, from a spare room at his parents' home. By the end of his first year in business, Steve's firm had 10 full-time employees and hundreds of clients. He was on his way to an incredible career as an entrepreneur. Now, besides being an entrepreneur, Steve is also an author. He's written a very enlightening book entitled Success and Self-Discovery, a business memoir with insightful tips and personal development advice that will help any entrepreneur. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Steve.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be with you.
Oh, the honor is all ours. Please share with the listeners and me from what city and state you are speaking from today.
I am speaking from Framingham, Massachusetts, which is just west of Boston.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You've just made this host and a whole lot of listeners very, very jealous. Quite a beautiful part of our great world, that's for sure. Steve, sorry to say, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your background, your incredible life as an entrepreneur, this fabulous book. We're just going to jump right now into the deep end of the pool.
Okay.
There must have been a certain point in your life, Steve, that you decided to become an entrepreneur. Share with us all about that, please.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I had an uncle who was a very well-known entrepreneur. He used to come to visit. I was only 6 years old, and I remember looking up at him, and he had his feet on a he had his foot in a chair and these wonderful alligator shoes and very handsome guy. And I thought to myself, geez, I would like to be like that someday. And
Wow.
that, that's just a childhood thing that sort of faded away. But as life went on, and I was a driven person, and I was not comfortable being driven because I was also educated and I bought into, having a better balanced life than I was living. But I was very high achievement oriented, and I had a boss at a Fireman's Fund Insurance Company in San Francisco, and I took over a sales territory that was 49th out of 50 in the country. I
Wow.
brought it up to third within 3 months. I outproduced my predecessor's entire previous year, brought it up to third place in the country,
Oh my goodness.
and then I got called into my boss's office. I figured I'm going to certainly get some strokes or get a raise, some recognition.
Sure.
And again, very high achievement oriented. And back when I was in college, I was the first college student in a particular company to ever have a field sales position. I led my office. I got straight A's. I just achievement was in my blood. So
Wow.
I got called into his office, and he said to me, quote, he said, "Steve, in life, Some people need steak to be happy, and others are quite happy with pork and beans. He said, around here, pork and beans are just fine. So I left his office totally deflated,
My goodness.
extremely angry, conflicted. I couldn't believe here I was part of a Fireman's Fund American Life Insurance Company, a wholly owned subsidiary of American Express, and my boss is telling me not to, not to produce. And
Oh my goodness.
so I took the next 4 weeks, and I went down to this was in San Francisco. I went down to Marina Green, exercised, jogged every morning. I made a couple of phone calls to clients. I felt very conflicted because that wasn't the way I was trained.
Sure.
Yeah, I called into the home office for a meeting. And again, this was 4 weeks of not working. And the vice president in charge of brokerage sales puts his arm on my shoulder. He says, "Congratulations." And I looked at him. I said, "For what?" He said, "You're leading the company in sales." I said, "Yeah, exactly." I said, "I'm leading your company in sales, and I haven't worked in a month.
Oh my
Shame,
goodness.
shame on you." Obviously, by this point, I had had enough. He said, "Come on into my office. Let's talk." So, long story short, I became assistant director of life marketing training development. I wrote the national sales training program, and it was. I gave a presentation to management. It was horrendous because I didn't understand not only the culture there, but I didn't understand corporate politics. So I just about got booed off the rostrum.
Oh no.
And as luck would have it, a friend of mine was coming up to visit us in San Francisco. He bumped into somebody else on the train who mentioned me to this fellow named Mike Gerber, who was starting a company called Newsmaker. And that's when I first got into entrepreneuring. After my experience with, and I had had a couple of other corporate experiences that weren't that positive. So Michael called me, and the position was in sales and direct commission sales in his new company called Newsmaker. And what we did at Newsmaker was, created publicity for products for different companies. We were publicists, and my job was to create a sales operation that was similar, that was akin to an insurance business. In the insurance business, you don't have to be an actuary to sell insurance. You need to know the benefits of insurance. Same
Sure.
logic applies to the public relations industry. So I would teach salespeople how to sell, and we had writers who wrote and so forth. But the biggest decision I had to make was straight commission sales. I looked myself in the mirror and said, "Are you really as good as you think? And if you are, you're going to take this job." And I'm telling you, Greg, my head hurt some. I remember sitting in the living room of our apartment in San Francisco. I put my head on my wife's lap, and I was emotionally spent.
Oh, wow.
But I knew I had always succeeded in sales, so I joined Mike. And December 75, I went into the office working. He says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm getting to work." He says, "We can't afford to pay you." I said, "I'm not looking for money right now." He said, "We officially had you down for January." So anyway, I was so enthusiastic. I went, I got started, got things going. Well, I would say March, by March, they had put me on a salary because I was doing pretty well. And so
Oh,
here I was, the national average at that time was, maybe 10,780 bucks a year per family. That was the median income. I'm earning 36,000 in a company car by this time.
oh my goodness.
So I was blown away. And again, I was a 26-year-old kid. So, and in the meantime, so things were tripping along and doing very well. And my wife and I had promised each other that after we were in San Francisco for 2 years, we'd come home for the bicentennial in Boston in
Oh,
76.
sure.
So I only took a week off. My wife took two. So we came home, and it gave me a chance to really relax. In the meantime, I had been working from 6 in the morning until midnight, literally. And
Oh, no.
it was around the clock. It was nuts. And but my bosses, my partners, which they were really my bosses, my partners were doing the same thing. I was one third partner by this time. They gave me an agreement, and I signed it because I looked at it as tuition and experience, and I was only 26. So at any rate, I got back to California from Boston. Got a call from Mike, meet him at the airport and visit a client. On the way back, he tells me, "Look, we would like you to start another business with us." Yeah, I responded the same way. I said, "Listen, I don't, A, I, that wasn't our agreement, and B, I don't have the energy to do that.
Wow.
And so I was really, it was a gut punch. I was really punched in the gut. So I went back, went home, and I mean, I gave them 2 weeks' notice and did the right thing. But, you know, I said to myself, listen, if I'm going to start another business, I'll do it for myself. Why should I start it for two other people? So it was a big decision point. I got a book entitled Where Do I Go From Here With My Life? Oversized paperback by Crystal and Bowles. And I sat there. I was a smoker in those days. And I sat there smoking Parliaments and drinking coffee for about 5 weeks. And I came up with a 2-foot by 3-foot piece of shelf paper with circles of what needs doing in my life, what my preferred people environments were, what my strengths and weaknesses were. It just was a way of correlating everything. And I wanted to finally figure out what the heck I wanted to do with my life. And
Oh, wow.
it was very intense. As part of that, I mean, it was personal responsibility. I wanted to look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, listen, dude, this is who you are, and stop the nonsense. So with that, my wife and I also decided it might be getting to be time to raise a family. We'd been married 6, 7 years at that point. We decided to move back home.
Oh,
So
wow.
move back home. In the meantime, in the preparation, I went to the San Francisco Business Library and began prospecting and so forth for back home. But nevertheless, I was taking some job interviews. So I took a job interview in Boston at the Prudential Tower. Great, great guy. It was a company called American Career Planning Services for a sales manager. And the fellow, Walt Cameron, loved me. He said, but you know, you don't have enough experience. I said, Walt, but I've done it and I know I can do it. He said, I'm sorry. I said, well, let me ask you this. I think I'm being forced to start my own business. If I do start a company, may I come back and see you? And he said, yes.
Oh.
So I put $300 in the bank. I had a logo, letterhead, and business card made for 100 and a quarter. Now, mind you, I'm a publicist and I had never written a press release in my life, only sold them. So I got my logo, letterhead, business cards, hired a salesman, straight commission, went to see Walter. It was a 1 o'clock meeting on December 10th, 1976. My wife was my assistant. I said, listen, call me at about 1:15, 1:20. She said, what am I going to say? I said, I don't know. Pull me out of the meeting. I want to appear to be important. So the act was on, the stage was set, and I had this presentation with Walter Cameron. And at one point, Walt, he was so impressed. He said, listen, I'm not General Electric. I don't have all that kind of money. I've already spent a fortune in advertising. I said, what have you spent? He says, I spent $40,000. I said, they can't afford not to spend another 400 and hire me.
Wow.
So he wrote a check for $395. That was our service in those days. And Len, my salesman, and I left his office, went to the elevator. We were so excited we had to go to the bathroom. I hit the 38th floor, go into the 38th, go into the bathroom, come out, and across the hall was a said Associated Industries of Massachusetts, Directory of Manufacturers for Sale, $15.75. Talk about divine intervention.
My goodness.
So I went in, I bought a directory of manufacturers, and Len and I went back and started cold calling, and that's how the business began. And we had two clients at the end of December, and then our first year in business, this again, our service was $395. We had 160,000 in sales.
Oh my goodness.
Second year, 360, third year, 450. Now, this was when $1 was equal to $5.70 today.
Yes.
So we went crazy. And you know, the great thing about this is I had two meetings last week with companies that I began working with in 1977.
Oh my gosh.
So today I've got clients that I've had for over 45 years. And
My goodness.
so consistency matters. I also have the same wife for 53 years. So
Oh, that.
I believe in consistency. So
That
that's how I got involved with it. But what's important for your listeners and viewers is that what it allowed me to do it was, let me back up a second. It was the word process, and I'll describe that even further. But backing up, when I got out of the Air Force and I was in a hospital for 3.5 months, and
Oh.
I wrote to the dean of freshmen at Northeastern University. I wanted to go back to school, And they assured me when I left in the middle of the Vietnam War, they assured me that I could, after my military service, I could return to school. Well, I got declined. So
Oh.
I requested an appointment. I went, met with the dean. I went into his office. His name was Dean Kennedy. Lovely man. And he had pictures of nine children on his credenza.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, beautiful kid. I said, "These are your kids?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You know, I just spent the last 3.5 months in five different hospitals protecting your beautiful family.
Oh, wow.
And all I ask is that the school keep its word." I said, "Dean Call, the previous dean, assured me I could come back. And that's really the opportunity I'm looking for." He said, "Well, Steve, the academic standards have changed in the year and a half, 2 years that you were gone."
Oh my
I
goodness.
said, "Dean, let me remind you that I spent time in Thailand. I got a skin disease. I was in five different hospitals for 3.5 months protecting your beautiful nine children." I said, "All I ask," and at this point I saw his eyes turn. I said, "All I ask is the opportunity to return to college as I was promised. Have a great day." So a week later, I got a letter of acceptance.
Oh,
And
terrific, terrific.
that salesmanship, right? So
Oh,
I
wow.
ended up going back to Northeastern. My year was in a fresh at a freshman campus. My sophomore year, I'm sitting on the quad, and I'm with this fella, Dave Whitney, a classmate. Dave got straight A's, straight
Oh.
A's. Now, I was the struggling BC student because as a kid, that was my label in my family. I had two older brothers. They were both, quote, smarter than me. They were curriculum one. I was.
Oh, no.
So this is where I fit. So what I want you, Pete, your listeners to know is that you have to learn how to ignore those prior labels. So I said to David, I said, "David, you get straight A's. I struggle for B's and C's. You don't appear that much smarter than me. What's up?" He said, "I am a lot smarter than you, and I'll tell you why." He proceeded to explain his process for studying. He said, "At the beginning of every semester, every trimester, I get a syllabus from my professors. If they don't have one, I insist on it verbally. I plan out every minute, every hour of every week for the entire trimester. So at the end, when you're cramming and studying, I'm just reviewing. So I study throughout the entire semester." Greg, I adopted that process and I got straight A's for my last 4 years of college.
Oh my goodness. Well, congratulations on that. And certainly thank you for your great service
You're
to
welcome.
our country. No question about that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like process, and you mentioned this in the book, that process is really important. No question about it.
Yes. And the reason it's, forgive me for interrupting, Greg, the reason it's so important is it gives you something to fall back on. It gives you something to depend on. So when I began my company, what did I know? I knew the sales process. So I knew I could depend on my own experience. I knew I had succeeded in sales wherever I was previously. So my initial goals when I started my company, the Venmark Corporation, my original goals were really based, at that time, to earn $36,000 a year, I needed to make three sales a week. And to make 40 some odd thousand, I needed four sales a week. To make three sales a week,
Oh.
I needed X number of appointments. To make X number of appointments, I needed to make Y number of phone calls. Okay. And I set up my calendar. I set up my life to win. I made phone calls on Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, Thursday afternoon, Friday morning. And I would only call for an hour because after an hour, it's too tedious and
Sure.
you get blown away. But to make three to four appointments in an hour, it's not difficult. And then when you learn how to get referrals, and so that's how I got started. I depended on a process that always worked. That takes the pressure off. And it's just like when I wrote my book, a dear friend who's written three books, she said to me, "Just write it a chapter at a time. Don't think
Oh,
of the whole book. Just write a chapter at a time."
wow, what brilliant advice. Wow, no doubt about it. I have to say, Steve, there's no doubt we've only been talking now for about 20 minutes, but you seem to have incredible internal motivation and drive. Where does it come from, Steve? Help us out, please.
Well, I wish it came from a more positive place. When I quit college and went in the Air Force, my dad, I went to my father. I knew I had made a mistake. It was one of those life decisions that, you do it, you go through it. And I mean, it took on a life of its own. My fellow students threw a party for me, and I enlisted in the Air Force, unfortunately, because I got drafted the following week. But I was
Wow.
already committed to the Air Force. This was November 1966. So I went to my
Oh.
father. It was the lowest point of my life. I said, "Dad, I've quit college and enlisted in the Air Force." And he looked at me and he said, "Steve, you're stupid, just like your brothers. And
Oh no.
you're a quitter. And you're a quitter." So I said to myself, A, nobody will ever call me stupid again. And B, I will never quit again. And now let me just tell you that my father and I had a magnificent relationship as time went on, and he passed with no unfinished business. We had a lovely
Oh,
couple.
wow, that's so beautiful.
And we had some great encounters. In fact, at one time, he was about 70 years old, and I was resolving many issues that I had. And I went to him and I said, "Dad, all those times you called me stupid?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You know who you were really talking about?" He looked at me sheepishly and he said, "Me." And we hugged and we cried, and it was a
Oh,
wonderful,
wow.
wonderful day. So we had come full circle. So rather than being angry, and I mean, I did go through a period of anger, but that motivated me. And then certain things happened in our life, which my family life, that I call the family Olympics, that happened, that we don't have time to get into. But what I would really like to do is I want to talk about entrepreneurship. The final chapter of my book is Entrepreneurs Are the Real American Heroes.
Wow.
And I really believe that. And I'll just cite a couple of examples.
Please,
I
please.
think of Bernie Marcus and Ken Langone, who started at Home Depot with an idea on a napkin. And now, because of them, they employ 500,000 people, and Ken Langone just endowed New York University a couple of years ago with $100 million, so that all doctors at NYU go there free.
Oh my goodness.
Jeff Bezos started a company called Amazon out of a garage,
Oh
and
my gosh.
employs 1,500,000 people. Steve Jobs changed our lives because without him, we wouldn't be talking on the iPhone and so forth.
Sure.
And I could go on and on. But what's most important are everyday entrepreneurs. My working title for my book initially was Blue Collar Entrepreneur.
Oh.
Because working class entrepreneurs, kids like me that grew up, and I mean, at one point, I wanted to be an entrepreneur so bad, I bought a book entitled 100 Jobs That You Can, 100 Businesses You Can Start Yourself for. The book cost $15 way back. It was nonsense. It was a scam. But it was, so there are people that just don't know how to do it. And one of the things to do if you want to start your own business is deal with what you love. Okay. I mean, I always loved products and science. So every time I take a company tour, even today, it's exciting for me. But
Hey.
what I would do, for example, if you're a hiker, and you love hiking, well, go on Google, do some research. There are manufacturers of hiking products, from backpacks to boots. There are distributors, there are retailers. Look at these opportunities and the job opportunities within the field that you love. I'm a fisherman. If I were in that position, I'd do the same. I'd look at all the different fishing companies and fishing tackle manufacturers and travel guides, anything to do with fishing. And then go to work in that business, because you'll be talking to people that love what you love every day. And then if you want to spin off and start something, you're likely to find somebody that might share your interest. So at least get into the game. But I'll tell you the beautiful thing, entrepreneurship is freedom. And in 1977, 70, no, I'm sorry, 1975, 92% of all jobs were created by small businesses. That's down to 64% today.
Oh my goodness, what a drop.
And the danger, there's a big danger for that, because that means we don't have the freedom we used to have. When you have your own business, you're free. Now, not only that, but small businesses build communities. They have raffles, they have fundraisers, they participate. And the things that I've done and seen done. Listen, I had my assistant owned a second home in New Hampshire. And one day she's preparing a lease. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, we have to rent the home out because it's they raised our taxes."
Oh,
I said,
no.
"Really? What are you renting it for?" She said, "1,500 a week." I said, "Sign me up for 2 weeks." So she drew up a lease, gave it to me. I gave her a check for $3,000. I took the lease, tore it up, handed it back, said, "You can use my weeks." All right, now that's what small business owners do.
Oh, my
She was
goodness.
with me for 26 years. So that's what we do as small business owners. And that happens all over the place. I know of people that have rented apartments for their employees, helped their employees. I mean, it's just that's what small business is all about. That's what entrepreneurship is all about. And if you want to have a really fulfilled, free life, work hard at your own business, become financially independent, and it's nothing feels better.
Oh, that is so awesome. We could talk all day, Steve. Sadly, we've only got about 4 minutes, but I've got a couple of questions still to ask you. Your book, this great book of yours, Success and Self-Discovery, it's a mix of entertainment, knowledge, and inspiration. Why do you think it's resonating with so many people?
It's resonating because I share my vulnerability. My editor, who's a terrific woman, said to me, I've never read a book like this by a man. It talks about my vulnerability. I was in therapy for 3 years. At one point, I had 12 full-time employees, and I was so depressed that I was in therapy 3 times a week. Now,
Oh,
why did I
wow.
become depressed? Again, we can't cover it in 4 minutes, but my business took off like a rocket ship. 28 years old, I'm earning over 100,000 a year. Now, in today's money, that's 600,000 a year.
Wow.
Took off like a rocket. And rather than being elated, I became depressed. So the depression was very serious, and I had to figure out why, and it took several years. But I had a wonderful therapist, and I'm very open about it and candid about it in the book. And these are things that people can relate to. So it's not, "Hey, look at me, look how great I am. I built a company, I became a multimillionaire." That's not what the book's about. The book's about transformation. I built a company, and it no longer suited my personality because I really had built it was for my mother almost. You know, the things happened in my life that I describe in the book. And so I had to transform the company and do it for me. And that's really what the story is about. It's about empowerment. It's about and I lay it on the table. I'm not I'm a human being, and it's a very human story. So if
Absolutely.
somebody's interested in discovering who they are, this was how I did it. Involved therapy. I involved reading a lot of books. I list 22 different books in the back, which one of my readers asked me to do early on. It's a human
Wonderful.
story,
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because so many guests, and thank God for Monday, share that today's, especially college students, they graduate and they know all these subjects, but they don't know who they are. So this book in particular for college students, but any age, would be fabulous. We've saved the most important question for last, Steve. Where can our loyal listeners get this great book, Success and Self-Discovery? How can they follow you, please?
Success and Self-Discovery is available on Amazon.com. And to learn more about me, all the information about me and my background is also on Amazon.com. But I also have a website, which is smstrom, STROUM.com. So smstrom.com. And but go to Amazon, you can they let you read the first couple of the preface or the introduction in the first chapter for free, and you can see the table of contents. So I've interwoven an engaging story that can give you information that can really help you a great deal. I share tips from businessmen I've worked with for 45 years on how to sell, how to manage, who to talk to, and that sort of thing. So I wish I had it to read when I was in college.
You got that right. And listeners, we've had a great Franciscan with us today. He could have held on all this good inside of him. No, what did he do? He wrote this great book. He came on, thank God, for Monday. Now it's your turn. It's almost holiday time, believe it or not. We're in November already. Please get out there, go to Amazon, get one of these for yourself, buy a few more, and give these as gifts. Give these to young people, give these to middle age. It doesn't matter what age someone is, where they are in their life, they will learn from this great book. Please get out there and purchase Success and Self-Discovery, this great memoir with insightful tips and personal development advice that will help any entrepreneur, and in my eyes, will help literally everyone. Steve, we can't thank you enough for coming on. Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened, but we've really been inspired. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In this month of November, certainly National Entrepreneurship Month, we feel so good about our entrepreneurs. Again, thank you for your great service as an entrepreneur to our country. Continued success, happiness, joy, and great contribution. Enjoy a wonderful Thanksgiving season coming up as well.
Same to you, Greg. Thank you very much. And remember, entrepreneurship is all about freedom and free enterprise.
Praise God for that, certainly.
Makes what makes America great.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Steve does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next time, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.